Puls.
Ehrengäste.
Thank you so much for being here. Declan McKenna, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Last night, the Grammy Awards took place. I don't know, did you follow it?
I didn't actually. I think I was probably sleeping.
The big story was Adele beat Beyoncé for Best Album.
Really?
Yeah, what do you think?
I mean, personally, I wouldn't pick either for my album of the year, but I think out of the two, I would have picked Beyoncé's. I thought I wasn't a massive fan of Adele's newest album. I loved her older stuff, but I wasn't a massive fan. So, damn, that's a shocker.
So, what would your album of the year have been?
I'd probably like to give it to Tribe Called Quest. Their album was just really, really brilliant. I don't know. It's quite nostalgic seeing an album from a band who you associate with kind of existing 20 years ago. but before I was born was when sort of their like hits came out, and then to see something now that isn't like contrived, that isn't just trying too hard to be cool, like now it's just kind of them being them and doing something that's kind of relevant to the time that we're in, and doing it in the form of really, really great songs and a great like whole album as well. Yeah, I think that was just so fantastic to see. And yeah, I'm a massive fan, so probably them.
A couple of years ago, you won a songwriting competition where the prize was to play at the Glastonbury Festival. Can you explain to our listeners why Glastonbury is such a benchmark, especially for British musicians like you?
Well, it's the biggest music festival in Britain, arguably the biggest in the world. I don't know if it is numbers-wise, but it's, you know, it's a massive deal for anyone playing there. It's sort of like, you know, headlining Glastonbury is the sort of dream, or just playing at Glastonbury is the dream, really. And I don't know, it's having been to a couple festivals over the past couple of years and playing at a couple as well, there's kind of nothing like Glastonbury. As far as I've seen, at least, there is nothing like Glastonbury, and it's almost like a city. It's bigger than some of the actual cities in the UK. So yeah, Glastonbury's a really big deal.
And how old were you when you played there?
16 for the first time. After I won the competition, and then last year again when I was 17. Yeah,
That's impressive.
Yeah, it's not really something you expect to happen, but it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like I had such a good weekend both times I went. I stayed for the whole weekend because it's like, I don't know, getting a free ticket to Glastonbury on its own is amazing, let alone playing there.
You just have a couple of songs released. One of them is called Paracetamol, and it's based on a true story of a transgender girl who committed suicide. And the lyrics are really impressive. They're emotional and detailed, but not cliched at all. How long did you work on these lyrics?
I spent a long time thinking about what I was doing with that song, trying to figure out what I should properly write it about and how I should go about it. And eventually I sort of read this story, because I'd had the sort of melodies, sort of basic ideas for it, but without like a proper subject matter. And I just kind of tried to not really force myself to write it in the sense, but once I did kind of figure out what I was doing, it didn't take very long at all. Like, I'd spent a long time thinking about what I was going to do, and then it was like, okay, I've kind of figured it out now. And it took, I think it didn't even take a day to write it. Like lyrically, and other bits sort of came in the recording process. But yeah, I wanted to like make something that wasn't me trying to portray myself as like a victim or portray myself as any, you know, in a sort of negative light. Because I mean, as well, at the time I was writing it, I didn't have anyone listening to my music. I was just writing it as a way of sort of expressing how I felt about a certain thing, which I thought was wrong. And, it was quite confusing and tough to write at first, but yeah, once I got into it, it was very quick.
Something I've noticed in general about your music, there's a lot of anger, I think, but also empathy for the people in your songs and the world. Where does this come from?
I think I tend to write about things that are kind of negative in a way, but I like to write about them in a hopeful way, and I don't like to be pessimistic about things. So I try and, I guess, write in a way that's hopeful, because I think, you know, it's sometimes I write about, you know, these sort of political things, these things about like the wider world and things that don't necessarily affect me. But I think that often the problems with these things in the way that they're portrayed is that it's all negative and it's all like, this is really bad, this is really bad. And it is quite confusing, especially, you know, seeing all this different information about these things. So I wanted to make, you know, these songs that I do write that are on the sort of political sides of the things that I write, just kind of hopeful and about, you know, something that shows that the world isn't just full of bad things and there is good that can come out of these bad things if you know, if people try and change them.
I mean, talking about Paracetamol or another one of your songs, Brazil, where you write about the corruption and the FIFA, the soccer, what is it called?
The World Cup.
The World Cup, yeah, thanks. The World Cup in Brazil. I mean, these are things that are in the news or on the news. Where do you get your inspiration from?
Everywhere. You know, I don't just take influence from these sort of news stories, these big things that are all over the place. Like, you know, I write as much as possible, and I think that's how you know, you write great songs that you like, is you just write as much as possible about whatever you can find that influences you. And so for me, you know, over the last couple of years, there has been such an abundance, especially in the sort of age of the internet and all that, there has been an abundance of information that's been accessible, and a lot of it is confusing, and that's kind of what has pushed me to write about these sorts of things, because yeah, there's so much information about it and it's all quite confusing, so it's kind of almost me trying to register it.
The Evening Standard newspaper published an article about you with the headline "Voice of Generation Z." I mean, that's quite a heavy statement. How does that make you feel?
I don't really agree with it.
Why?
I think one of the problems I've had sort of that sort of voice of a generation thing said a couple of times, and I think especially with my last single, where I was basically trying to say that the younger generation is full of like intelligent, bright people, and then people are like, Decca McKenna, voice of a generation, and it's like, it's kind of almost the opposite of what I was trying to say, is that, you know, I get written up as like an exceptional teenager when it's not really the case in terms of the way that a lot of young people at the minute think and, you know, consume information. It's the same to me. I just kind of have a sort of platform to write songs about it and talk about it to lots of people. Whereas other people my age, you know, my friends who probably talk about these things more eloquently and, you know, could you know, definitely outdo me in their knowledge about, you know, the world and all these things that I talk about. But they, yeah, they just don't have the same platform that I do. And I think, you know, it would be, for that reason, I don't really agree with being called like the voice of a generation, when I think there's many voices in this generation that haven't been picked up and haven't been listened to as much as they should have been.
Mm-hmm. But do you feel like your generation is being underestimated? Like, this is what I kind of read in between the lines in the song you just mentioned, "The Kids Don't Want to Come Home." Do you feel like that?
Yeah, definitely. I think the younger generation always feels a little bit disengaged with, you know, the political elite or whatever you want to call it, or, you know, just the wider world, you know, the thing about not being able to vote until a certain age and all these sorts of things come into it where, you know, young people can get written off as just, you know, unintelligent, or, you know, they need more life experience or whatever. But I think there's just a lot of smart kids that are definitely underestimated. And I think, I think that was kind of what I was trying to say. You know, we should listen to our kids, because at the end of the day, they're the future, and they're the people who have to live in the consequences of things that, you know, the older generation has voted for. Like, you know, I had Brexit, which I couldn't vote for at the time. I was too young. In America, they had Trump, and, you know, all these things that the younger generation wouldn't have voted for.
Mm-hmm. What's your relationship with your fans like? Do you chat with them after the shows or on Twitter?
Yeah, I tend to be kind of interactive on Twitter, you know, as much as I can. And yeah, most shows are like, I'll chat with people after. It's nice to like talk to people who are into your songs. Like, I don't know, this, it's really strange for me, like, still having people who live, like, for example, in places that I'd never played before, where we had, you know, we've had shows in Milan and Barcelona, places I'd never played, and I was talking to people who'd like, you know, they'd be like, oh yeah, I've been listening to your songs for so long. It's like, wow, I've never even been here, and there's people who who like my music. So, you know, I try and, you know, chat to people when I'm free and when I can. And yeah, it's nice to have a friendly relationship with people.
Mm-hmm. How far along are you with your first album? Is it almost finished?
It's finished.
Is it finished?
Yeah, I finished mastering like 2 weeks ago. I finished the recording, would have been December last year or November maybe. And yeah, we were just doing all the sort of boring mixing, mastering after that. And now it's like done.
And when is it coming out? You already know.
Before summer. I haven't announced a date yet, but we're going to announce it soon. I'm finishing off like artwork and stuff like that before I release the date and all that. But yeah, it's a very, very exciting time for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're really looking forward to your first album. Thank you so much for being here, Declan McKenna.
Thank you.